This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. And first up, there have been reports of fake blood screenings targeting senior citizens around the Klang Valley. So we wanted to look into what's going on and really the dangers of scams like these. To be clear, when we say fake blood screenings, essentially this covers the same sort of grounds as health screenings. You know, you talk about people coming in to have blood tests, after which you get diagnoses or reports. And then, more often than not, you also have products tagged on at the end, right? So they're not just screenings. They kind of take the form of health seminars and really seem to be a platform for selling products that, you know, may or may not be regulated. And the Ministry of Health has said that they are going to carry out an investigation into these allegations. The campaign appears to be running in the Klang Valley. And as mentioned, it aims to sell additional health supplements to senior citizens. The Health Minister, Khairi Jamaluddin, said that any campaign that is identified to be fake must immediately be investigated, and that the ministry would cooperate with the police to track down the parties involved. He went on to say that he specifically does not want the elderly to become victims and be deceived by these campaigns. And I think that there is a lot to unpack here, because these scams or these campaigns represent, you know, clear dangers to people, whether it is the selling of products that shouldn't be sold, whether it is the spreading of misinformation. There's a lot that's going on. So that's what we want to talk about and examine after this with Associate Professor Dr. Adina Abdullah from the Department of Primary Care Medicine at the Faculty of Medicine in UM. We'd like to hear from you, though. I mean, have you seen these blood screening campaigns or these health screening campaigns around? And for you personally, what do you factor in before deciding where you're actually going to go for health screenings, right? What do you look at to see whether things are on the up and up? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Banish fraudulent maneuvers. BFM 89.9.
It is exactly 5:11. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We're talking today about reports of fake health screenings targeting senior citizens happening around the Klang Valley. The Ministry of Health has said that they're going to carry out an investigation. So we want to, I guess, explore what's going on a bit more. And we'd like to hear from you. Have you seen these fake health screening campaigns? And, you know, when you decide that you're going to go for a health screening, what do you factor in before deciding where it is that you want to go? What do you use, I guess, to recognize when something is authentic and when it isn't? Let us know by calling 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now to talk about this is Associate Professor Dr. Adina Abdullah from the Department of Primary Care Medicine at the Faculty of Medicine of University Malaya. Dr. Adina, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, hello. Nice to be here. Thanks, Lynn, for having me.
So have you heard of or seen these fake health screening campaigns? I mean, how common are they?
Okay, so when I heard about the news and read the press statement from the Ministry of Health, I'm a bit perplexed about the definition of fake. What is fake? I think what they are trying to say is that there are more to screening than just the blood test. And if the people who conducted those screening could not carry out their responsibility beyond the blood test, then that would be considered as fake. Because I don't think there are some fake blood tests. You know, when you take your blood and test for sugar, that's not fake. They can detect whether your sugar is high. But what is beyond that? And what is screening for, really? I think that is the message behind it. No, in terms of whether I've come across them, I do come across them, but I don't really know how common they are, Lynn. I don't think anybody has quantified how common they are.
As you mentioned, I guess, defining, you know, fake or even what's going on is a little bit difficult, especially if we've not personally attended them. But do you know, I guess, to your knowledge, what actually happens at these screenings and what takes place?
Okay. So I want to go back a little bit and define screening. So screening is a process which the purpose is to identify disease early in people that seem to be well. If you look at it, it's more like a sieve. So you want to sieve out people with early disease from those that are really well. So that's the purpose of a screening test. And one thing to note is that no screening test is 100% accurate. So when you go for any of these tests, and there might be some of you that might not be, some disease that might not be able to be detected. So in this test, in this screening test or screening program, usually they will offer you a test to detect certain diseases. And you need to be knowledgeable enough to know if those tests will be able to give you a finding to say whether you have the disease or not. So for example, if you go for a blood screening, if you fasted, you might be able to detect your sugar level and your cholesterol level. And then you can do a few other things to look at your kidney or your liver function. But remember, some of these tests are just to show the status of your body, not really what disease you have. And this can be illustrated in like by cancer markers. Cancer markers will not be able to say you definitely have cancer. It might have tell you that you have higher risk of having those cancers, but not, they can't visualize those cancers, right? Blood tests cannot visualize those cancers, so they won't be able to tell definitely whether you have the cancer or not. So at this screening test, usually they will offer blood tests to show you whether you have certain diseases.
Now, the health minister has spoken about how he's particularly worried about the elderly falling prey to these kinds of circumstances. Who are the groups that these more, I guess, suspect screenings would target? Are there factors that make senior citizens susceptible to this?
Okay, so for this, we need to find out why people go for screening, right, Lynn? And there are some studies that's been done to look at this. And they found that people who go for screening are usually older. This is because they might have some fear of disease happening in their body, or they might be experiencing some symptoms or things that they feel themselves that they want to check to find out what's wrong. They might have family members that was diagnosed with certain diseases like cancer or heart disease, so they also want to find out. And sometimes they have insurance coverage, so they feel like, oh, I have insurance, I should go for screening. So these type of characteristics are usually occur in patients that are older rather than the younger one. The younger one don't think health is an important thing, so they probably don't think about screening tests compared to our elderlies. Yeah.
Now, if we go back to your answer in the first question, which is to say that it's difficult to quantify what exactly fake means, right? Because as you point out, the tests themselves aren't fake. What might be is perhaps not fake, but suspect are the ways in which things are communicated, or the inability to actually properly talk about the post-test report, things like that. What are the dangers of these things happening?
Okay, so when you go for screening, like I said, we already mentioned the first principle, that is not all tests are accurate. And there are clever people all the way back in 1968 called Wilson and Jungner that already outlined 10 principles for a good screening. Okay, I will not go through all 10 because I know we don't have time, but I just want to highlight certain things. Number one, the disease must be important. You want to look for a disease that makes a difference. Okay, so that if you detect the disease, you can save the person's life or improve their health. Number two, there must be a test that will be able to detect those diseases. Certain tests, like I say, the cancer marker can only tell that you are at higher risk. They won't be able to detect. So, for example, if you want to know whether you have colon cancer, you should do a stool test that can detect the blood. And if that's positive, you should go for colonoscopy. Then that will detect whether you have cancer or not. Okay, so that's the test that you want to be doing. Number two is that the people who screen you should know what to do when they detect those disease. So now you have colon cancer. What are you going to do? What type of treatment are they able to offer you? If they're just going to give you supplements, is there supplement evidence-based treatment for colon cancer? So you need to think beyond what happened when I detect the disease. If I have diabetes, the screening test show me my sugar is high. What treatment should they offer me? Okay. And then the next one is that you should be able to detect this disease early enough to make a difference. If they detect it late, then it's not going to make a difference. It's just going to worry people. And then they will be at loss as to where to find treatment for their disease. And this has to be continuous. You cannot go one off to a screening test that was free and found out that you don't have any diabetes, but a few years down the line, you gain weight, but you haven't been for detection. Screening test that's negative today does not mean you won't develop the disease next year or 2 years' time. So those are the principles of screening that anybody who think about offering screening tests should be thinking about.
The larger aim of these screenings or events also appear to be to sell further supplements or medical products. I mean, this is something that you referenced earlier. What are your worries when you hear of this happening?
Okay, so when this happened, as you know, our population health literacy level is not adequate. It's quite low. 1 in 3 of our population don't have the health literacy level to be able to make decisions for themselves. And for some of these screening tests or services that has been offered, there is some element of deceit in a way. And also because when patients are with you and they were told about their tests and they were in an enclosed area, they feel trapped, they don't know how to say no, they have done some tests, they feel obligated, they feel obliged. So if that's under those circumstances, then they were sold these supplements, then I don't think that's the right thing to do. Patients were not given the time to think about whether they want these supplements or not. These are the concept of shared decision-making that we talked about. Even in hospitals, when we diagnose patients with cancer or anything, we do give them time to go back and think about the option for treatment. We don't, say, you have to take this treatment now, or you have to take this supplement now, and things like that to patients. So I think the element, the fear element, the being feeling trapped, that is not a good thing for the patient to experience.
So a lot of these screenings, I guess, operate quite openly. Why do you think that's been the case? I mean, are there not clear guidelines, I suppose, for who it is who can conduct health screenings?
Yeah, I don't know enough about the guidelines that govern this screening test. I've come across the Medicine Advertisement Board regulations and the Medicine Advertisement and Sale Act in 1956 and the Medicine Advertisement Board regulation is 1976. But in there, they did say that medical practitioners bind by their code of professional conduct and they are regulated by MMC. But I'm not sure whether these screening tests are offered by licensed or registered medical practitioners or not. If they are not, then they might not be within the regulations that are currently available.
And the MOH has announced a probe into this, said that they're going to investigate this. How much of a deterrent do you think this will be?
Investigation must come with enforcement. I think what we need is more enforcement to show that we are serious about this and that there are consequences to their actions. I think they might think twice now, probably, before blatantly advertising their services. However, it might still happen underground now, because when we scare them with these investigations, what we want is for them not to do it rather than going underground and still recruiting people. And I think, Lynn, again, we go back to this idea of empowering the patient, empowering our citizen and public, because we can't go around enforcing every single thing. Facebook is littered with this type of advertisement, and the person, the individual, the citizen should be able to evaluate themselves whether this is something that they want to go or not.
So in closing then, if we're looking to go for a health screening or a seminar for that matter, what should we be looking out for to determine its authenticity?
Okay, so I think the most important thing is to see who is organizing it. You can see, I think, even in the advertisement, if they are affiliated to certain companies, and I think you will know that. And you can easily go on the online to find out, if I want to find out whether I have breast cancer, what test should I have? If I want to know if I have colon cancer, what test should I have? So you have to empower yourself before you go. And so you should know, they should, at the screening test, one of the red flags probably is to not explain adequately about the test. They should explain adequately what this test is for, that this test, what is the sensitivity and specificity of this test. And from that, what can they do for you? And you can always say no for anything that they offer you. And if they insisted, then that might be a red flag to say that it's not something that you should be buying or taking.
Dr. Adina, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you, Lynn.
That was Associate Professor Dr. Adina Abdullah from the Department of Primary Care Medicine at the Faculty of Medicine of University Malaya. We've been talking today about reports of fake, or I suppose unsubstantiated and authentic health screenings targeting senior citizens around the Klang Valley, usually aimed at selling additional health supplements. And we've been asking you, have you seen these health screening campaigns running? And what do you factor in before deciding where to go for health screenings? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have this message from Intan, who says, just go to the nearest clinic kesihatan, pay a ringgit, unless you're a pensioner, OKU or government servant, then it's free of charge, and get your medical checkup. No scams involved. I think that that is an excellent tip. Keep them coming. Again, we're asking you whether you've encountered these alleged or reported fake health screening campaigns, which really aim to sell or upsell people supplements that they probably don't need. And what do you factor in before deciding where it is you go for health screenings? BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.